Hey, gang! Welcome to another exciting episode of National Duke Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. It is the home of free speech. It is the land of the free and the home of the speech. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, and send a donation. Also, go to nationalbugle.com, which is where you can download the Co-Certified app, which is $3.99, which is cheaper than a kosher certified latte at Starbucks. I mean, if you would do such a thing, I would. But it's great. And also, you will find all of the very interesting articles that Mark Dankoff talks about. By popular demand, we have Mark Dankoff. Welcome to the show.
Hey, it's good to be on with you, Patrick. And what we did at your National Bugle site was to put one link from V Contacta on the site that contains the links to all of these stories. So hopefully that'll be a good economical way of doing this, and also ensuring that we have room to put other stuff up.
That sounds good. We'll see how that goes.
Good.
So a lot of stuff has gone on since the last time you were with us. Where do you want to start?
Well, let me start by whipping through what I think are the top stories. I think the top story today is Biden bombs Syria. U.S. airstrike destroys multiple facilities used by Iranian-backed militia in retaliation to three rocket attacks in Iraq that injured American troops. That's according to both the UK Daily Mail as well as CNN and others.
Hey, I didn't hear about it. Is this making the normie news?
Yes, it's now headline news at CNN as well as at the Daily Mail, RT, all kinds of different places. And I will simply say to begin with that story that this dovetails with everything that I have said in recent days to press television Iran and to the Fars News Agency of Iran, as well as Sputnik International in Russia. And that is that we would discover very quickly that Joe Biden is, in fact, Joe Zio Biden. And that if there is any change with the foreign policy of Donald Trump, it's actually going to be for the worse. So that's basically the top story. We can come back to that one shortly. Here's one for you from the from a number of sites, including KSAT.com here in San Antonio. The House has voted to expand legal safeguards for LGBTQ people. H.R. 5 is that particular bill. It remains to be seen if, in fact, that will pass the Senate. Keep that in mind, folks, when we get to the last story in the summary, which deals with Senator Rand Paul's exchange with Joe Biden's Undersecretary of Health.
It's pronounced Secretranny of Health.
Yes, the Secretranny of Health, one Rachel, formerly Richard Levine. So keep in mind this Equality Act when we get to the last story in regard to what mainstream media is not telling you about this so-called Equality Act. Here's one for you. The United States Senate has confirmed Joe Biden's pick for UN ambassador. This is from the Times of Israel. And here we go, folks. Once again, Linda Thomas-Greenfield, yet the latest Israeli agent to be picked by Joe Biden to continue all of these Zio foreign policy positions now, that we have seen ad nauseum from the U.S. government for however many administrations.
Is she black?
Yes, absolutely. And we are told at her confirmation hearing that Linda Thomas-Greenfield pledged to fight bias against Israel at the United Nations. And she said she was planning to work with her Israeli counterparts to bolster the Jewish state's security and to, quote, unquote, widen the circle of peace. She has said that the boycott, divestment, and sanctions movement is unacceptable, and that it, quote, unquote, verges on the anti-Semitic. Gilad Erdan, Israel's ambassador to the U.S. and the U.N., congratulated Thomas-Greenfield on her confirmation. And this dovetails, of course, with Joe Biden's bombing of Syria right after the United States failed to meet an Iranian-imposed deadline for the re-entry of the United States into JCPOA P5+1. We are not looking at peace here, but at war.
So with regards to the BDS movement, boycott, divestment, and sanctions, well, I mean, the first part, boycott, you know, I believe it is illegal under federal law for companies who participate in the Arab League boycott, which maybe it's still enforced, but the Arab League boycott of Israel. And what's the difference? This is a question. What's the difference between prohibiting a boycott and compelling purchases?
Well, that's exactly correct. And one thing that people need to be aware of is in states like Texas and Florida, there have been attempts to make it necessary to oppose the boycott, divestment, and sanctions movement in order to be employed by the state governments in both Texas and Florida.
Sign a pledge to oppose it?
Yes, and at least in one case, I believe it was in Florida, and I have to go back and check this, where at least one court has deemed that to be unconstitutional, which it clearly is. But nonetheless, here you have a situation both at the federal level and also with the states where there is this strong movement to make a pro-Israel position necessary for employment at all levels of government, both a federal level as well as state level. So keep an eye on that story. And of course, this Linda Thomas Greenfield thing with her confirmation to be Biden's ambassador to the UN dovetails with the bombing of Syria, dovetails with Biden, of course, and apparently as well Blinken as Secretary of State, beginning to attach all kinds of conditions for the United States to re-enter the JCPOA deal.
Right. Anthony Blinken, who is Jewish, by the way.
A Jewish Zionist, that is correct.
Right. And, I was going to say something, but I forgot, so it couldn't have been too important.
Hey, no worries. Here's one from Moon of Alabama. Won't surprise anyone. Biden commits to forever war on Afghanistan. The opinion editors at the Washington Post and the Wall Street Journal may not agree on much, he says, but they are both determined to oppose bringing forces out of Afghanistan as our war there approaches its 20th anniversary, raising the specter of quote-unquote withdrawing irresponsibly. And, of course, here are the names to come up in this story, folks. Max Boot, David Ignatius, Madeleine Albright, Joe Biden, Lindsey Graham, and so forth and so on. We are right back to what I have said recently in both Russian and Iranian media, and that is we are talking about a Joe Zio Biden administration. And, of course, we are seeing the coalescence of both mainstream media as well as social media in this effort to keep the United States as the janissary force for the New World Order, to pursue not only pro-Israeli policies, but to demonize and to ostracize and even to silence voices of dissent on both the right and the left when it comes to this Zio policy. So take a look at that story from Moon of Alabama.
Right. And so, I mean, you mentioned five names there. Joe Biden, who's not Jewish, Max Boot, who is Jewish, Madeleine Albright, who is Jewish, David Ignatius, I believe he's not Jewish. I think his ancestry is some sort of Middle Eastern Christian. And the other individual, I can't remember who it was, but was also not Jewish. But, it goes to, Lindsey Graham. But, I mean, Lindsey Graham and Joe Biden, I mean, they're like about as Zionist as you can get. And, of course, both of them were politicians who got a lot of money from the Israeli lobby, the Zionist lobby. And so, I mean, you could say, a majority of these people you just named weren't even Jewish. But the cohesion, what holds them all together is this Jewish money. And David Ignatius is a writer at the Washington Post, which was long owned by Jews. It's currently owned by Jeff Bezos, but it is run by a son of two Israelis. What's his name? I think his name's David Baron. Something Baron is his last name. Yeah.
And there you have it. Here's one from Real Clear Investigations. 60 years after Eisenhower's warning, distinct signs of a digital intelligence complex. Amazon Web Services, C5 Capital, Joint Enterprise Defense Structure. What do some of these organizations have in common? They all have links, says this article in Real Clear Investigations, to the central intelligence agencies. Here's one for you. The lies aren't secret. Jim Bovard for the American Conservative. Thanks to friendly courts, he says, the deep state continues to avoid accountability, triumphant at home and abroad. The Saker for the UNTS review, the Ukraine's many ticking time bombs. Take a look at that list that we excerpted from that story.
So the UNTS review, was it written by Ron UNTS himself?
No, this one was written by the Saker. And that's a very, very fine article. We put a brief summation of the so-called partial list of the problems which the current administration in the Ukraine will have to deal with in 2021.
Well, but Joe Biden knows all about the Ukraine because he ran Ukraine policy for Barack Obama. So I think we're
that's
in good hands, aren't we?
And along with Hillary Clinton and along with Victoria Nuland and along with Robert Kagan was instrumental in the overthrow of the legitimate government of that country. So I'll keep an eye on a Biden administration that probably will continue to cash in on this Ukraine coup d'etat.
And with Victoria Nuland having gotten a promotion in the new Biden administration.
There she is, folks. That's right. And so this whole Nuland-Kagan-Clinton connection continues with Joe Zio Biden. And I think the latest evidence of that is the latest bombing of the United States of Syria.
Serious was the bombing in Syria?
Well, the initial reports are saying that some sites of a so-called pro-Iranian militia were bombed. These reports are sketchy as to what kind of damage or casualties may have been involved. But most ominously, one has to really wonder what's going on. When you look at a story that appeared today in the Fars News Agency of Iran, which discusses the foiling on the part of the Iranian authorities of a major terrorist plot that apparently was designed to take place in western Iranian Azerbaijan. The timing of that situation, which is not being reported on in the Western media, at least unaware of any place in the Western media where that story has been covered, along with the airstrikes, the latest American airstrikes in Syria, suggests that something is afoot, especially, Patrick, when we go back to something that had been appearing in recent days big time in all the major Iranian English language media, Fars News Agency, Press Television, Tasnim News Agency, and so forth and so on. And that is that the Iranians, with Russian support, official Russian support, were saying that the United States, to show good faith, needed to re-enter JCPOA P5 plus one without conditions, without any new conditions by the 23rd of February. That deadline has passed, and now we're hearing about these renewed attempts at terrorist plots in Iran, this time in West Iranian Azerbaijan. Then, of course, Biden's airstrikes on Syria. The other thing that I told the Iranians was very telltale, and that is that Anthony Blinken said, when asked if the Biden administration would adhere to its pledge to reenter JCPOA, Blinken said that there would be no such reentry until Blinken and the United States had the opportunity to consult, said Blinken, with our Israeli and Saudi and Gulf allies, quote unquote. I think you can see very quickly where that's headed.
I want to ask you, because the the JCPOA?
Yes.
If that's the right acronym or right initials.
Yes.
That was negotiated during the Obama administration, and at the time, the number one person at the State Department was Secretary of State Kerry, and then number two was Tony Blinken. Number three was Wendy Sherman, who I think was the main negotiator. And then, of course, Victoria Nuland was a big shot, arguably the fourth most important person. And so those number two, three, and four, they've all gotten the promotion. So now you've got Anthony Blinken as Secretary of State, Wendy Sherman is number two, Victoria Nuland is number three. So it's basically the same team there. And you would wonder why, after Trump trashed this agreement, why they would have any hesitation at all to go straight back to it, seeing as they had presided over or been directly engaged in the negotiation for it. So my question is, do you think the difference is that Obama, for all his faults, was actually very leery of getting into a military involvement with Iran, and Joe Biden just doesn't have that concern?
Well, that's one possibility, certainly. I can't rule that out. The other thing that I think is especially interesting is that if you go back after Biden's inauguration, there was a major story in the Times of Israel which detailed the amount of official Israeli pressure on Joe Biden not to re-enter this deal. Mm-hmm. And it was absolutely amazing how forthright Netanyahu was being, as well as his ambassador was being, in regard to saying that the Biden administration's relationship with Israel would pretty much be virtually terminated if the United States were to re-enter JCPOA. So mm-hmm. in this particular case, I have to assume, especially with the kinds of Zionist appointments that we're seeing in the Biden administration, I have to assume that the level of Israeli pressure being mm-hmm. exerted on Biden, and that includes the people Biden is surrounding himself with, who are vehemently pro-Israel and pro-Zionist and pro-interventionist, that the president is perhaps being led around a little bit by the nose here on mm-hmm. this, which is not surprising. But you do raise an interesting question. Since mm-hmm. this deal was consummated during the Obama administration, and since you had people like John Kerry and George Mitchell playing such a big role in the JCPOA P5 plus one deal.
John Mitchell, did George Mitchell also play a role?
Yes. Okay. It's kind of interesting now to see mm-hmm. what is clearly the additional attachment of conditions coming from Anthony Blinken. And then after this 23rd of February deadline passes, we suddenly see American airstrikes on Syria. Mm-hmm. We suddenly see a situation, of course, where Biden's pick for UN ambassador is confirmed. And we have Linda Thomas Greenfield, who really is representing the Israeli government and not the American at the mm-hmm. UN, once again saying all of the things that the Zionist lobby once said in regard to the foreign policy of the United States and the BDS movement and all the rest of it. So we'll keep an eye on the story.
Yeah, and here's as you would remember, before this treaty was voted on by the Senate, Benjamin Netanyahu had been invited to address Congress, not by Obama, but by, I guess it was John Boehner. Well, Boehner is really how you pronounce it, I think. I don't know. But
Boehner, yes.
Yeah, I mean, everybody said Boehner, but Anthony Weiner told him just to own it.
Yes.
It was a funny thing for Weiner to say. But at any rate, he had been invited over the head of Obama to address Congress. And of course, he used the address to lobby against the treaty. So, you know, one wonders how much, how much Israeli pressure there is and how much more susceptible to Israeli pressure Biden and his administration are going to be. Well, I mean, Biden personally is going to be, as opposed to Obama, because the administration really seems like a recycled Obama administration.
Yes. And of course, Kamala Harris waits in the wings.
Oh, my God. And we only have a few more seconds, but what do you think Kamala Harris, Mrs. whatever her Jewish husband's name is, how do you think she would act?
Well, based upon her photo ops with Netanyahu at the American-Israel Public Affairs Committee gathering before the presidential election of 2020, I think it's very clear that she's totally in the bag and, as we might say, slightly tongue-in-cheek, totally in the sack with both Netanyahu and the Israeli lobby.
Yeah, okay. That's imagery that maybe we can do without. But at any rate, we'll be right back.
Say the things you used to say and make the world go.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
And make the world go away.
And we are back. So, what's next?
Well, let's see. There's a Pentagon report, according to CNN, that reveals disturbing details about white supremacists in the ranks. The story was written by two Jews at CNN. In this particular case, who is an expert that is cited in this story as being an authority? One Heidi Beirich, co-founder of the Global Project Against Hate and Extremism. Prior to co-founding the Global Project Against Hate and Extremism, a little bit of research enables us to discover that Beirich led the Southern Poverty Law Center's Intelligence Project, the so-called foremost organization tracking hate and extremism movements in the United States, which presumably means anyone who opposes the domestic and international agenda of the Zionist lobby and most of the major Jewish organizations in the United States is automatically tagged with being involved in hate and extremism. But the point of that story, folks, is simply to keep an eye on who these sources are that continue to be cited by CNN and other elements in mainstream media. Here's what I took from V. Kontakte. There is an outfit on V. Kontakte entitled Russia Connects. And this one is entitled Cancel Culture, Official Truths, and the Death of Dissent. This is aimed, folks, at anyone, especially those of us on the anti-New World Order right in America who oppose the domestic and international agenda that we've been discussing up at this particular point on the show. What are the implications of being a legitimate dissenter from these official truths? Russia Connects says as follows. It'll make you a criminal, possibly a spy, and most certainly a target. Are you ready for this? Western elites, says Russia Connects, are in a state of abject terror. They see their centuries-long patrician dominance being swept away by China, and are becoming increasingly desperate, especially so after the pandemic has made this situation so very much worse for them. Cancel culture was only the start. The war mode Western elites, says Russia Connects, are now entering at deeper and deeper levels. This means they won't allow dissent that garners too much support for very much longer. The signs of this shift to draconian censorship, and those signs are already here, and each passing day signals another step to a liberal totalitarianism, leading to an ice-cold war and by degrees to a permanently divided world. Are you a present or future target, asks Russia Connects. Are you ready to be targeted, mocked, and criminalized? Will you be strong enough to withstand being called a traitor for expressing a view that calls into question an official narrative in a time of war? Where will your loyalties lie when your government says all citizens must join the fight against named enemies, and there can be no refusal without some sort of punishment? Will dissent die within you then? We have a link to that in all of our stories that we put up on Patrick's board. That one comes to us from Russia Connects. That could have been written by some of our longtime activists, including yours truly, at the Republic Broadcasting Network or at the American Free Press. Obviously, Russian sources see this for what it is.
Hey, can I say something?
Sure.
I stand with the chinks.
What? What?
Yeah, there you go. And the Ruskies. I'm allowed to say the CHNIK word because I'm actually cool with them.
Yes. Yes, and you have a background, as I understand it, don't you, in Asian languages?
I do. And yeah. We have a caller to this show from time to time. His name William, and he inspired me because he, a few years back, started brushing up on his Russian, and he got good enough to monitor the Russian press in Russia.
Wow.
And so that inspired me. I mean, I've been studying Chinese off and on for 40 years, but mostly off. But I started reading the People's Daily, and I have maybe 70-80% comprehension. It's something. And so I'm working on it.
Yes.
I can't speak worth a darn.
Hey, no worries. You're working at it, and I'm going to be trying to resurrect some theological German to finish my last degree. The kickoff date for starting that study is probably going to be in the middle of June. So we'll see if I survive that along with all of my other responsibilities. But in the meantime, we will continue allowing ourselves to be made the targets of a lot of powerful people that don't happen to like people like the two of us. And I think Russia Connects issued that statement today on V Contacta with some of us alt-right dissidents very much in mind.
Okay. We have about another minute. Do we have another article to bring up?
Yeah, I'll whip up through two very quickly. Sputnik International interviewed yours truly, Mark Gankoff. That one is entitled The GOP, Globalism or Nationalism, Disintegration or Survival. We got that one up in the listening for the show. Here's one, folks, the last one maybe before the break. Jewish Telegraphic Agency. Transgender Jews are finding a safe haven in an unexpected place, The Farm. And this is a story talking about a Jewish outfit called Adama, A-D-A-M-A-H. And they interviewed a queer Jew by the name of Kohansky, who says, I went to Adama because everyone was telling me this is like a great queer place to learn. Like, you will meet many trans and queer Jews there. It's like a mecca for that sort of thing, he says. It's a little noticed feature, according to the Jewish Telegraphic Agency, of the booming Jewish farming space. But among the many who find an emergent Jewish identity through the cultivation of soil are a minority who find something more, a new relationship to gender. No fewer than 10% of participants in Adama over the program's 17-year history have changed their gender pronouns in the course of the fellowship, according to Shamu Sadeh, the program director. The overwhelming majority, for RBN listeners so that you might remember these kinds of great details through this show, the overwhelming majority have changed from feminine pronouns to gender-neutral pronouns. Very moving story.
Okay, well, we're up at the break, and I'm moved, so we'll be right back.
Anytime you're feeling lonely, anytime you're feeling blue.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Is your property a financial burden and causing you grief? Have you tried to sell but can't find buyers? Or are you just too busy to sell your property? Don't worry. We have the right solution for you. We buy properties as is, with cash, close in 30 days, and pay all closing costs. Our service is ideal for property owners who are in pre-foreclosure, have high-end repair costs, experiencing financial hardship, going through costly divorces, are relocating, need cash for retirement, suffering family loss, or have tax liens. Whatever your situation may be, we can help you sell your property and get the money you need. If you own a single-family home or multiple family units, call us for a free consultation at 888-910-1037. That's 888-910-1037. Or visit our website at cashingproperty.com. That's cashingproperty.com. Sell your property fast and leave all your worries behind.
February is Heart Month. Every year for the month of February, to show our appreciation to Extendivite's faithful customers, we have a sale. If you would like to try Extendivite, now is the time to get a few months ahead and really give Extendivite the time to show you how it works. Most of Extendivite's long-term customers wait for this sale to stock up. People and doctors tell us about the unbelievable improvements that they have experienced in their overall health, not just the heart. Extendivite wants you to experience the power of these herbs. Get a four-month supply for only $115 for either the capsules or tincture. Please take advantage of this once-per-year sale and get healthy for life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
If you say you want me back again, that's the time I'll come back home to you.
We are back. We are making our way through all of these interesting articles that you can look at by going to nationalbugle.com. And so what's next?
Okay. At our basic link from V. Contacta on the National Bugle Big Board, here are the bonus stories. And I put in parentheses in Russian social media if you're not already ill. These are the bonus stories. What to do about Israel? Here are some suggestions. Philip Giraldi for the UNTS Review. Very, very practical advice there. Here's one, Naomi Harris for News Punch. Vatican Cardinal by the name of Cardinal Robert Serra, who warned against the evils of the deep state, has been removed by Pope Francis. Take a look at that story. Here's an interesting one. Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s Children's Health Defense put this one up. Male infertility threatening the future of the human race, says the author of a new book. The name of that book is called Countdown. It is penned by one Shauna Swan. She says that endocrine disrupting chemicals are causing decreased sperm counts, plunging testosterone levels, and rising levels of erectile dysfunction, which means that there are that many more people that are ready to serve in a Biden administration.
Oh, God. That's a good one.
Yes.
What is the cause of it?
Endocrine disrupting chemicals. I didn't get through the complete review of the book, which in fact was written by a Megan Redshaw, doctor of jurisprudence. She penned the review, but that is up there on the big board in our basic series of links for this show. So folks can go back to that story from RFK Jr. and find out all of the details if they so desire.
in the 1990s in Japan, what they called environmental estrogen was a big issue. And it was said that it was going to do all these things. And in fact, it has. So the Japanese fertility rate, which is a measure of it's always a measure of how many children women have. But of course, unless Dr. Levine has some magic up she, he, its sleeve, it does require men to get women pregnant. And their fertility rate is down to about 1.3, which is nowhere near replacement level. And in fact, their population is shrinking. And, you know, all these other problems. So environmental estrogen. And then I've heard other people, Andrew Anglin talks a lot about plastics, and he's not like a scientist or anything, but he has an interest in these things. And I think a lot of plastic, and David Duke talks about it as well, a lot of the plastics perhaps also will create estrogen-like substances or have an estrogen-like impact on men. But it is a big problem. In Japan, there was a lot of estrogen that was put into like soap and shampoo and all sorts of other things. And so there was just a lot in the environment. And so that's that. And you wonder, I mean, this was in the 1990s. And so it's either been known or it's been talked about for an awful long time. But apparently it's not getting any better.
Yes. According to this author, it isn't. So that would be an interesting book to get a hold of to see some of the specific statistics and argumentation that lead us to what is basically alongside of massive legal and illegal non-Western immigration to the United States and the West leads us to yet another evidence of the probable death of the West. I think we might conclude that that's the case, both in terms of this story as well as the overall situation that we've presented tonight on the air.
Yeah, I don't want to be too blackpilling, but it is a very desperate situation. I mean, on so many fronts. So you've got the declining birth rate among people the traditional populations of the West. And part of that has to do with things like this environmental hormones or these chemicals, these estrogen blockers or whatever they are, the reduced male fertility. And then you mentioned Dr. Rachel Richard Levine. Rachel Levine, she is the father of two. She impregnated her wife with her penis at some point in the past, but now she is a she, or a she, he, it. I don't know.
Well, this is the last thing that perhaps, this is the last story, but I want to tie it into an initial story. Mm-hmm. This story deals with Levine, mm-hmm. and it's from RT, Russia Today. Biden's transgender assistant health secretary nominee refuses, in big caps, refuses questions on child sex changes in confirmation hearing. And this is where Rand Paul really pinned Levine on a very, very significant subject, child sex changes. Rand Paul was basically asking this Richard, also known as Rachel Levine, as to what her position is on child sex changes being undertaken in the United States without parental consent. Mm-hmm. Levine dodged the question, says RT, telling Rand Paul that, quote unquote, transgender medicine is a very complex and nuanced field, and that she'd be happy to talk the issue through with the Kentucky Republican after being confirmed to the job. Rand Paul pressed on, quote, do you support Ms. Mr. Mrs. Whatever Levine, do you support the government intervening to override the parents' consent to give a child puberty blockers, cross-sex hormones, and or amputation of breasts and genitalia? He asked that question. That is the quote, folks. Rachel Levine gave the same response she he, it, whatever, would not answer that question. Now, this is perhaps a bigger story than many people would possibly recognize, because we go back to the Equality Act, which passed the House today. It is dubious as to whether or not it will make it through the Senate, but it did pass through the House. And in this particular circumstance, it is absolutely unbelievable that according to RT, you have a situation now where this Equality Act, in fact, is as follows in terms of Levine and Richard slash Rachel Levine's opinions. Whatever Levine's opinions on child sex changes, American children, according to RT, may soon find it easier to change their gender. The House of Representatives was due to vote later on Thursday to pass the Equality Act, which they now have, folks, a far-ranging, far-reaching piece of legislation that, among other provisions, would make, quote-unquote, gender identity a protected class under Title IX of the 1964 Civil Rights Act. As such, doctors would be compelled by law to perform such procedures, and parents could be prosecuted for preventing their children from transitioning. The bill will likely pass the House. It has, folks. This story was posted before the House vote. It did pass the House. It now, according to RT, could face significant opposition in the evenly divided Senate, where it needs a two-thirds majority to reach Biden's desk.
Does it need a two-thirds majority? I think it's a three-fifths majority if you're talking about the closure rule, often called the filibuster. That would be 60 votes. That's still a far reach. You know, Bernie Sanders was on record today talking about the minimum wage, and he was saying there's no way that the minimum wage would be passed unless they get rid of the filibuster rule. And he wasn't proposing getting rid of the filibuster rule, the closure where you need 60 votes. But, you know, even if it was like a straight majority, you wonder, there is at least one guy in the Democratic Party in the Senate, Joe Manchin from West Virginia. And you just wonder how somebody representing a state like West Virginia could possibly vote for something like this.
Well, it really makes you wonder, doesn't it? And Joe Manchin in the past has been pretty reliable on quite a number of things. So I'd have to really contemplate where we're headed on that particular subject. The interesting thing about this RT story is not simply the outrageous character of Levine's failure to clearly answer these questions about child sex changes without parental consent. Mm-hmm. But the other interesting thing is that it does come out that in Pennsylvania, that Levine was playing the same role as Cuomo in New York in regard to directing COVID-19 positive people into care facilities. And in this particular case, he, she, it removed his or her or its own mother from a care facility after basically ramming it through, shall we say, in Pennsylvania, that much like Cuomo's New York, these care places would be forced to take COVID-19 positive people. And in this particular circumstance, the results of that have proven to be very, very evident. I don't know if Senator Rand Paul explored that with Rachel Levine or not. But quite clearly, folks, we are looking at a situation where 70%, according to RT, 70% of the state's deaths with COVID-19 had occurred in care homes. Mm-hmm. And it was Levine, as Pennsylvania's health secretary, that issued an order last March requiring nursing homes to accept patients with COVID. Mm-hmm. So in this circumstance, this is the quality of the individual that we now have as an assistant health secretary under one Joseph, I am a Zionist and a lunatic, Biden.
Yeah, but diversity required it. He needed a tranny, and he got one. And, you know, this is a lot more serious. I think a lot of people, myself included, are having trouble with the gravity of this situation really sinking in, because trannyism just seemed like such a obscure minor thing, minor in that it was, there were so few people involved. It's been around, you know, they had sex change operations in the early 70s, and I think of the organist
Rene Richards.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, Rene Richards was a tennis player.
Yes.
A doctor who was a tennis player. Wendy. It's now Wendy. What was the last name? Carlos. Is it Wendy Carlos? I can't remember the original name of this person, but it was the person who played the synthesizer on Switched on Bach.
Ah.
So okay. I can't remember. That person transitioned. That's 50 years ago. So it's been around for a long time, but it's accelerating. And now you have a situation where, A, it's being pushed by the media like crazy. And then, B, Zoomers, you know, the school-age people, you already have 1 out of 6 Zoomers who are identifying as LGBTQ, et cetera. And that's scary.
Very scary. And again, when you have a situation where children, according to Rachel Levine, I think it is a fair interpretation of her failure, his or her or its failure to answer Rand Paul honestly under oath, we must presume that she, in fact, does believe in child sex changes and child sex changes that can occur without the consent of the biological parents of that child. To me, is absolute lunacy.
I'm pretty sure that this Dr. Levine has written about it in the past, has passed statements on it, and that's why Dr. Rand Paul was pursuing that line of questioning, because indeed that is Levine's position. And for anybody who hasn't seen this character yet, if you remember Curly from the Three Stooges and then put a Sally Struthers wig on Curly, that's what you get, more or less.
I'll send you the picture that RT published, Dr. Slattery. It shows Rand Paul on the left, shows Levine on the right. They probably ought to have those pictures reversed. But nonetheless, it does give everyone an opportunity to see what this Levine character actually looks like. And again, to think that this individual could be anywhere in the federal government of the United States with views like this, much less as an undersecretary of health, is it absolutely blows the mind.
And you know, she, he, it is only there for the tranny diversity.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And is there presumably to create the acceptance of the idea that children should be the subjects of this kind of quackery and this kind of culturally Marxist quackery, free of any legal and moral say-so on the part of the parents of that child. Folks, this ain't the United States that I grew up in.
No, and I like I said, I don't want to be too black-pilling, but when you look at the what they're doing in terms of destroying the family, destroying the likelihood that normal people are going to be able to get together, the massive push. And like, I'm not the type of person who says race mixing this, race mixing that, but there is a massive push to have white women. I mean, the black man who frankly doesn't have the greatest track record in terms of supporting children and supporting families, but to promote the black man as the ideal mate for white women. And then the black woman just gets, you know, I guess, parolees. You know, people are out on parole and they get to share them to get themselves impregnated. You look at what's happening demographically to the United States. And then, of course, you mentioned the massive numbers of people. We have no idea how many tens of millions who have come over illegally, add in illegally, because a lot of people come in legally. And you're seeing a country that is absolutely unimaginable to anybody who was in our, you know, elementary school or in our neighborhood when we were growing up. Could anybody have foreseen this? And we're almost up on the break, but that's the question. But I want you to get to that after the break. But could anyone have foreseen this? Short answer.
Yes.
Okay. I guess we'll take a little early break. This is the Eddie Arnold News and Views Boomer Hour. We'll be right back.
Well, in 1814, we took a little trip along with Colonel Jackson down the mighty Mississippi. We took a little bacon and we took a little beans, and we met up with the British near the town of New Orleans. We fired our guns and the British kept a-coming. There wasn't as many as there was a while ago. We fired once more and they began to run it down the Mississippi to the Gulf of Mexico.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with Front Sight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, Front Sight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, Front Sight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356 or shoot him an email at domedan, D-O-M-E-D-A-N, at hotmail.com. This is a limited time opportunity. Don't miss it.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Hounds couldn't catch 'em down the Mississippi to the Gulf of Mexico.
Okay, we are back. So the question is, how the hell did we get here? Who could have foreseen it? What the heck's going on?
Well, you know, in asking that question, I keep going back to some of the pivotal work done in the cultural arena by people like Dr. E. Michael Jones of Culture Wars, and my friend Lasha Darkmoon, who has written extensively on this, Jonas E. Alexis with Veterans Today is yet a third. And each and every one of these sources has outlined a very, very long chronological history of how it is and why it is, and basically who's responsible over this length of time for bringing us to this point. And folks, we will say it again, any reasonable person who starts looking into the kind of academic work that these people have done over a very long, long period of time, it will be demonstrated that this is an overwhelmingly Jewish movement. Joe Biden and Mark Dankoff said the same thing after the Obergefell decision was reached in 2015. And I was pilloried in the Israeli press for saying the same thing that Joe Biden did, only he thought it was great. I thought it was horrible. And that is the Jewish role in promoting cultural Marxism in this country. And this has been a long process of deliberate targeting and infiltration over decades. It involves media. It involves think tanks. It involves our educational institutions. It involves the subversion of religious institutions. It involves deliberate policies designed to destroy the traditional family and replace it with Hillary Clinton's version of a village, presumably a Jewish-run village, where, in essence, biological parents and traditional religious structures and traditions to which these biological parents adhere would be replaced by a new world order where ultimate fidelity would be to the central state, ultimately a central state that expresses itself in terms of world government. And in this particular case, this is where world government and the whole business of the Roman emperor and the whole business of Nebuchadnezzar and the whole business of other evil entities throughout the centuries would coalesce at the end of time in terms of something that would have the mark of the beast as its imprimatur. And in this particular case, I don't think there's any question that this didn't just happen. It has been planned. It has been targeted. It has been foisted upon us through something that the left knows a lot more about than the right, unfortunately, and that is incrementalism. Push the envelope as far as you can. When you can't get it any further, then you sit and you wait. You hold your position. And then at a future time, when the population has been systematically desensitized, then you push the envelope again. We've seen it over and over and over again. And this is why, as we are now in 2021, we are in a place that could not possibly have been foreseen by anyone in the United States in terms of the average citizenry prior to 1973 with the Roe versus Wade decision. And then, of course, in 2015, we had the Obergefell versus Hodges decision by the Supreme Court. And now we are talking about a circumstance where presumably, if the views of Rachel Levine prevail, children will have sex-changing operations at very young ages without the consent of that child's parents being necessary for the procedures to be undertaken, and whereby the ultimate arbiter of right and wrong is not going to be the child's family and the traditional religious mores of those families historically. It will be the central state. And in this particular case, we're not simply talking about the federal government of the United States. We are looking about looking toward a future world government with the United States and its Zionist forces will play the major role in bringing that about. And I think it's also important to understand, people to understand that the major, one of the major reasons why Vladimir Putin's Russia has been targeted by mainstream media and by all of these neoconservatives and neoliberal interventionists ad nauseum is because the Russians are moving back in a post-communist era to an increasingly Russian Orthodox, a return to the older Russian Orthodox Christian culture in Russia, yep. Which, among other things, is tightening the clamps on the influence of these LGBTQ organizations and their ability to reach children under the age of 18.
Wow. Well, I mean, we're out of time, but thank you so much for coming by, and we really look forward to having you back.
Thank you, my friend. God bless. See you next week.
And I'll be back again next week with more exciting episodes of National Legal Radio.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen planned to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network.
because you can handle the truth.